become the true sons of God in our glorified state. Now look, if you would, in verse number 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Now remember, when God created all the animals, when God created creation, everything was beautiful. The plants was beautiful, no thorns, no thistles. The animals was peaceful and beautiful. No animal eating another animal, no anger, no violence, no killing. They got along. Adam was able to name all the animals, the lions, the tigers, the bears, was peaceful. And so therefore, what's going to happen was sin came in. The animal in the creation, the plant life, did not willingly participate in Adam's sin, but they were the conclusion of, and they were part of the issue when God cursed Adam and Eve and the serpent. He also cursed the animal life and the plant life. And so therefore, because he did that, there was thorns and thistles came upon the earth. We have violent storms. We have earthquakes. Today we have a bunch of people running around and hollering a climate change and all this other stuff, creating all these storms. Let me let you in on a little secret. Sin has created all those storms. Every earthquake, every hurricane, and by the way, you look around, you see different things that's happening, you can thank sin for that. You can see animals being cruel, you can thank sin for that. In the manifestation one day, whenever God reveals in his kingdom and Jesus establishes his kingdom again, once again, the Bible says the desert is going to bloom like the rose. It's going to flower. It's going to be beautiful. The Bible says that the lamb is going to lay down with the lion, the bear with the kid goat. And there's going to be peace again, and the lion's going to eat straw once again and not eat meat. And so therefore, once again, it will be manifested. But right now, all of creation groans, waiting for that time when this event's going to be changed back, and the curse is going to be lifted off of all mankind. Look back in your Bibles. He goes on in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. In other words, all creation, everything we're going through, all the pain, all the suffering, all the afflictions, is birth pains waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Look in verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Did you ever say, my goodness, I'm so tired of all this mess. I'm tired of seeing the evil, the wickedness, the pain, the suffering, the affliction. And maybe it's something you're going through and you're saying, oh, I'm going through this. I'm suffering. It's hard on me. Now, notice here that the Bible says we ourselves groan within ourselves. Look at again and waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, and hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now the word patience there is the same word used of Job's patience. We endure what we're going through in this life when we're having to endure something. Now, different ones of us are called to endure certain things. And I know that some have gone through procedures. I know Darlene's going through one Wednesday, I believe. Different ones has to go through procedures. Some has loved ones. I know Terry is dealing with her mother. You know, it's a terrible time right now. She can't even see her, can't even talk to her. And it's terrible in that situation. And I know it's a great weight upon her heart. But we have to endure through these things. Look on in verse number 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities and our weaknesses. In other words, the things that we're having to go through. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So first of all, I want you to know, the creation is groaning. Everything, the word groan means to sigh. It sighs within itself because it's under the burden that sin has brought to it. And we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and read of that burden and curse that was put on the creation. Also, we find that we as Christians groan. We groan as well, but we have a hope. And we see the hope ahead of us, and that hope is what saves us as we're going through trouble. That's why the Bible says we can glory in tribulation also, because we can see an end to all of our sufferings. Not only that, but also notice that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, groans within itself. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, he knows what God has waiting for us. And he cannot wait, the same way with the rest of the Godhead, he cannot wait until the time that we are manifested as the sons of God with the full adoption, the full change of our bodies, the full change of our life. Won't it be a glorious time then? Then it will be worth it all. Look back at verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. Now notice here that the Holy Spirit, I said that it groans too, but knows in verse 26 that it sustains us. In other words, it takes part of our burden that we're going through. And it also, verse 26 and 27, it speaks on our behalf to God to help us as we're going through these trying times. Now, sufferings, listen to me, sufferings cannot be avoided. They are the consequence of sin. You have been born into an evil, wicked world. And because you are born in an evil, wicked world, there will be sufferings. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so if you think that you come in here trouble-free, the oldest book in the Bible, Job, as far as we know, he said in chapter 14, verse 1, that man is born full of trouble. And so you're going to have trouble in this life. There's going to be sufferings, afflictions, persecutions, and sickness is going to come upon us. Now, they're also appointed to us to bring us to God. Sometimes we're going through sufferings and we say, why God? But we don't understand what God is doing through the sufferings that we're going through. He's preparing us for the glory that will be revealed in us. And so therefore, we are encouraged to endure that affliction. Keep your finger there a moment. Look, if you would, over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now keep your Bibles. We're going to flip a little bit today. Notice, if you would, verse number 16. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Paul said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. By the way, any of you ever noticed what time's doing to your bodies? Am I the only one? Chris said something about, she said something, she said, it's driving me crazy. I said, it's a short trip for all of us. And so, you know, the problem is our bodies are changing. Our life is getting, we're getting older. And so therefore we're changing. But notice, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Notice verse 17. For our light affliction, notice Paul says light affliction, which is but for what? A moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So therefore, what you need to understand is, we must also understand that sufferings is meant to bring us to the point where we can better serve God. Matter of fact, look back at Jesus. Jesus had to suffer, and he suffered greater than any man. And he had to suffer before he reigned. And someday he will reign, Lord of lords, kings of kings. But yet, at one given time, the very Son of God, the creator of the world, sat and let men spit in his face, smack him, whip him, pull his beard, mock him, laugh at him, nail him to the cross. And he allowed that to happen to take upon him the sins of the world and suffer for us that he would reign. And the Bible said those of us who suffer with him shall reign with him. The Bible said, yea, all who shall live godly shall suffer persecution. There is no painless way of serving God. Anytime you try to do something for God, it will cost you something. And so therefore, we need to look at Jesus and understand that it pays off a far more weight and glory than what little bit of suffering it is for you. The Bible calls this a moment, just a little time. And that's why the present sufferings that God puts us through is proportional to what we are able to endure. God will not let something come upon us that we are not able to bear. He will give us the ability to endure whatever comes our way. You say, well, preacher, I just can't bear it. You know, I was noticing something came up on the internet the other day, and I just looked at it a moment to see, and it was talking about porn stars. And what it said was, the title was, the percentage of them that commit suicide. And I mean, it's way up there. 70, 80, 90% of them kills themselves. And you think about it, you think they're supposed to get all this money and have a, but there is something terribly missing in their life, that they would end up taking their life. And so therefore, what we need to understand is that the sufferings of this present time for those of us who are saved is but for a moment. It is not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You could compare it, and it was a weak comparison, to a glass of water versus the ocean. Maybe a candle to the sun itself. That's the difference in what glory is going to bring to you in comparison to what you're going through right now. There's no comparison. Think about that a moment. Now, if there's anyone that should be able to tell us about sufferings, it should be Paul. Because he was one that knew what suffering was all about. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Notice what he says in verse 23. Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In other words, he said, I've worked harder than any of them. He says, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, he said, five times I was whipped with 39 stripes. And they'd be beaten with them pieces of bone, and they'd throw it in his back and jerk chunks of meat and flesh out of his back. Five times he had that done to him. 39 of those across his back. Look at verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brothers. Now, perils, he's talking about dangers. Put yourself in danger. In weariness, verse 27, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. In other words, he said that he also had to care for all the church. Now stay with me there. And notice he would, not only did he have to go through all those afflictions, so by all means, if anybody wants to tell us that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, first of all, Paul was a good one to speak of the sufferings. Would you agree? How many of you have gone through that? Nobody. Now look in chapter 12. Not only was he a good one to tell us about the sufferings, but Paul experienced something no other man experienced. Now John was able to do this, but Paul was able to do this. The Bible says in verse number 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now he goes back and he talks in verse 2 that 14 years ago he knew a man. He's talking about himself. And he's talking about the time when he was stoned and left for dead. Everybody thought he was dead. And he says right here, he said, I'm not sure what was going on with me, whether I was in the spirit or what, but he was left dead by being stoned. And so in verse 2, he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. In other words, he said, I got to go up in heaven. Notice in verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or they heareth of me. In other words, he said, listen. He said, I don't want to brag that it was me. Because if I say it was me, he said, people will think of me being something above what I am. He said, I know what I am. I'm chiefest of all sinners. He said, I know what I am. I'm saved by the grace of God. And so therefore, he says, I don't want nobody thinking of me above what I am. But now notice here in verse number 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, in other words, because of what he got to see in heaven, because of what he got experienced, unless he would be exalted in his own mind, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh that beat me and made me suffer every day. I suffer with this thorn. Matter of fact, he suffered so much. Look in verse 8. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In other words, he says, it bothered me and hurt me, and it interfered with my life so much that I prayed three times that God would take it away. Now, this was a man that prayed that someone that had died would come back to life, and he came back to life. This is someone that was able to do all kinds of miracles, but yet he prayed three times and didn't. Notice what he says in verse 9. And he said unto me, this is the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul said, listen, I got to see in heaven. I can tell you a little secret. All these things I've suffered is a light affliction for a moment. nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, think about that just a moment and notice that we are given the Holy Spirit. Now, notice here, if you would, back in Romans chapter number 8, that the Bible talks about the fruits, the first fruits of the Spirit. In other words, we have the Spirit given to us. Turn, if you would, into Galatians chapter 5 real quickly. Some of you say, Ben, I wish we'd sung this morning. We're about to get a fifth of it knocked out. Hang on. I'm kidding you. Galatians chapter 5. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, notice if you would, turn on over to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice in verse number 13. Paul says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the what? Earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest means a down payment. It means just a small token of our inheritance. In other words, what we're going to inherit. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now get this a moment. When Israel had to go around in the wilderness, God enabled them to go over into Canaan, to see Canaan, and to bring some of the fruits back, and to get a taste of what the fruits were like in the promised land. What the Holy Ghost does to us, it has been given to us a down payment, and every now and then, we get to taste the peace that passes all understanding. We have a peace in a time when we shouldn't have peace, that we can't understand, that we can't explain, but it's just a peace that comes over our soul. We can't explain the joy unspeakable and full of glory that we experience sometimes. We get a little taste of that here. In other words, we're able to taste of the fruits that will be all the time when we get into heaven. It will be like that full time. When we get there, this present time, there's no suffering afterwards to the children of God. This world is our battlefield. This is where, and the battle is just for a short time, and it's a shadow that flies away. It's a flower that fadeth away. And so the sufferings is just for this present time. Now, when we get to heaven, notice if you would, keep your finger again, and go with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 17. I love this verse. I quote it quite often, but I want you to see it. Psalm 17, look if you would in verse 15. David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. In other words, he said, when I see Jesus, I'm going to be like him. He says, I shall be what? When I awake with thy likeness. How many of you can raise your hand and say, I'm always satisfied? Can I let you in on a secret? When we get there, it will not get dull. It will not be something you get used to. It will just get better and better and better and better. Amen. Now look back a moment and think about this. Look, if you would, keep your finger in Romans chapter number 8 and go with me to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Yep, I can hear people getting songs in their mind already. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Notice verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. In other words, right now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, What he has in mind for us, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 on down through 15, that it has not entered into our minds. We cannot even imagine what God has waiting for us in heaven. It is not entered into our minds, into our hearts, into our ears. We have never seen anything like it. In other words, it is far above, and we cannot yet know. We just get little glimpses of what it's going to be like. Look on. He says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is." In heaven, we will have a perfect reflection of God's light in us. We will be like Jesus. We will be like him when we get there, folks. When we get there, God's judgment, we will understand everything that God did. I have people tell me, "Preacher, I don't understand why God did." You don't now, but in heaven we shall know as we are known. We'll have an eternal understanding, and in our intellect, we will have a perfect understanding of all the judgments of God. Not only that, but we will also have a perfect love of God shed abroad in our lives, in our hearts, and our affections shall be full of the love of God. Here, we get a little taste of the fruits of the Spirit. Every now and then, we just get where we want to love one another. Hardest thing about this virus is this. I love to shake people's hand. I love to hug people's neck. And I catch myself doing that a lot anyway. I went in someplace the other day and met somebody. First thing I did, I grabbed him and smacked him on the shoulder. And he looked at me, and he pulled back, and he began. And I thought, I said, "I'm sorry. Old habits is hard to break." But he went and put gloves on, put a mask on. I thought, "Oh, gosh." I said, "I'm so sorry. Just wasn't thinking. Just my affections and my emotions got above me." But the point being is this. We will be full. Now get this, we will be full of love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, patience. Think about that moment. Not only that, but we will understand and have a perfect understanding of the will of God in our lives, and our motives will be nothing but purely to please God. Right now, people say, "Well, I'm not sure what God wants me to do." You will understand fully there. Not only that, but you will have a perfect unity. There will be perfect harmony among everybody. Everybody, Brother Eric, will be happy over there. I was talking to him about that song this morning. Everybody will be happy over there. My friends, it will be perfect unity. Now, think about this. The nature of this glory. Now notice here, he says, "For I reckon that sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." What glory is it? Well, heaven does not only consist of removing us from the evils and pain of this world, but also giving us a glorified body. Look, turn your Bible real quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul gives us a little glimpse. He says in verse 34 and 35, you want to know what we're going to look like when we raise? You know what the resurrected body is going to be like? He goes on and explains it. Verse 51, he goes on, he says, or let's skip back a little bit. He said that there'll be heavenly bodies in verse 40. As there's earthly bodies down here, we'll have a heavenly body. We'll have a glorified body. At verse 41, there'll be glory of the Son, glory of another one, and so forth. And he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. In verse 42, it is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown in natural body, it's raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Then verse 51, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkle of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on mortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will have glorified bodies. Not only that, if you look real quickly in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Notice verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? You want to know what glory he's talking about? When you get a glorified body. According to the working wherein he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In other words, my friend, you are going to have a glorified body. Amen? No sin. Not a bad thought. Not a bad feeling. Not a complaint. Not an issue of life. Beautiful. So let me ask you this. You're going through trouble right now? How's it when you compare it to that? Amen? Now, not only that, but think about a glorified company, society that we're going to live in. Turn, if you would, real quickly to Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm about to close it up. Don't get too excited. Maybe and maybe not. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. And ye come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of living God. This is talking about heaven, what heaven's going to be. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of what? We're going to be up there with a bunch of angels. So many you can't number them. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to the God of the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. In other words, when we get up there, look at the company we're going to keep. Man, we're going to live in high society. We're going to live with all the saints of God, God himself, Jesus, everybody. What a time. The glorious activities we'll be doing. Sing. Somebody said, well, I don't have much of a voice. You will there. Man, we will sing. We will serve God. We'll reign with him. How about the glorious home that he has prepared for us? You want to know about it? Turn over to Revelation chapter 21, 22. You know what it tells us? We will have a place, no pain, no suffering, no death. All kinds of glorious things that God describes there. And so think about that just a moment. Think about how we will be free from all this corruption. Now, get this a minute, and I want to close with this thought. The order of this glory that only the sons and children of God is going to see has to be this. Suffer, then glory. Jesus suffered, then he is glorified. The reason why we suffer is we are being made to conform to the image of his son. We shall suffer with him. We shall reign with him. Now, think about this real quickly. Think about this. When you compare the temporal good things that you have right now with the eternal good things that God has prepared for you, how does that even compare? How about when you deal with the temporal bad things that you have right now to the eternal good things that you have waiting on you? Now get this a minute. Knowing what I preached, knowing your home, your body, knowing the fellowship, knowing the time you will get, and remember, it will not get dull, it will not get old, it will get better and better and better and better and better as time on. Always be satisfied. Knowing that, the suffering that you're going through don't seem so much. Knowing what's laid up ahead of you. Amen. Brother Tom, knowing that you have to use that walker down here, don't seem so bad now when you know what waits for you over there, right? And see, this is just a temporary thing. For all of us, it's soon going to be over. For a moment, it's going to be gone. Now, picture this. How about all the suffering that goes on here and the eternal suffering for all those who are not saved? This is the best they ever have. This is as much of heaven as they'll ever know. And look here. They're going to go, and they think they're suffering now. And by the way, lost people suffers. The sin affects them too in a lot of ways. Christians suffer in certain ways of persecution because of Jesus' name. But there's other ways that we all share suffering. We all get sick. We all have diseases. We all have issues. But look here. They got to go from that, the sufferings of this present time, to eternal damnation of sufferings forever and ever and ever that never gets any better. Imagine that. How would you like to die and go through eternity weeping and gnashing your teeth and biting yourself because you chose not to believe on Him? And the longer eternity goes, the more you'll hate yourself and the more that you'll just be in misery, hating it. Think about that. So look here. If we have to go through a few things here, and we know where we're going, and we know where we're not going, maybe it don't seem so bad after all. And maybe Paul was a good one to say, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us." Now listen to me. Let me say this, and I'll close. This message is not for all mankind. All mankind suffers, but not all mankind has a home in heaven. They will not get a glorified spiritual body. They will get an eternal, damnable body. They will have an eternal body that will endure them where their worm will never die. And they'll be able to endure the afflictions of hell, the lake of fire, forever. Never get no better. It's not, now listen. It's not for those who profess to be saved. There's a lot of people that professes to be saved that would never go to heaven. You got that? Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 7, "And in that day, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy thy name?" All those things. And listen, he'll say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And it's not somebody said, "Well, I know old Joe over here. He's suffered all his life. Surely God got something waiting for him." It's not for people that just suffered in this life. My message and Paul's message is strictly to those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and been saved. And if you have been saved, then you can side with Paul and say, "I've come to conclusion, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." In heaven, listen to me, we will never forget what we were. In heaven, we will never forget what He did for us. In heaven, we will never forget who He is. We will be trophies of His grace, praising Him throughout all eternity because of what He did for us. And won't it be wonderful there? My friend, everybody will be happy over there. But only those who make it over there. And by the way, let me say this, and then Brother Eric comes sing. Just because a preacher stands up here and says somebody's over there behind the pulpit doesn't put them in heaven. The blood of Jesus does. And my friend, if you don't have Christ this morning as they come and give a song of invitation, you haven't begun to see suffering yet. You better take a good look at this world, because as far as you're concerned, this is your heaven. Because it's only going to get worse. But Jesus come to make a way that it would not have to be that way. But you must be willing to come unto him. Would you come this morning and say, I want Christ to save my soul. I want to be able to go to heaven. I want to have that glorified body waiting for me. I want to experience the things that are in heaven. I can tell you this one thing, definite. There's a spirit within me that witnesses my spirit of this one truth. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all, folks. You can count on it. Let's stand.